actual net.
We've been driving along the road, the back road to Limerick, I call it, talking about visitor attractions in Ireland. And, you know, without necessarily naming any of the visitor attractions, Jonathan, how well do you think they're getting their story out there, in your opinion, as a relative newcomer to Ireland?
Which ones? All the ones in
Irish visitor attractions. Are there any exemplars that you rate highly and you think they really get their story out there in a very, very engaging way that is very easy to latch onto, and that as soon as you land into Dublin Airport or into Cork Airport, you're immediately easily able to engage with them on your mobile phones?
Well, I think
are there any of those?
I think that's what's fascinating in an Irish context. I mean, there's so many things to see in Ireland. And in some respects, it's kind of like when you have a little stall at a flea market where, you know, a customer coming into the flea market has 100 euros and you've got 100 stores all kind of competing for that 100 euros. So that's the interesting thing in Ireland. You've got all these, like, world-famous tourist attractions, but yet...
Like the Book of Kells?
Like the Book of Kells.
Like Guinness Hub Store?
Like the Guinness Storehouse, like Blarney Castle, Cliffs of Moher, the Burren, Bantry, Old Head of Kinsale. I mean, there's so many iconic places that, you know, are just known globally. They haven't actually necessarily had to spend a lot of money promoting that brand, but, you know, a brand like Blarney becomes... part of the English language, you know, it's world famous. People in
everyone's heard of kissing the Blarney Stone.
Absolutely.
Right? I mean, is there anyone in the English speaking world who hasn't heard the phrase to kiss the Blarney Stone?
Absolutely, and that phrase contains all kinds of richness and memories and associations.
Okay, look, we're not here to talk about Blarney. What I'm interested in is picking your brains on the question of how important, let's take this much, how important do you think it is that a visitor attraction which is genuinely good, we'll say, genuinely good, not all rubbish, right, genuinely good, is able to put a story out there that will attract an audience? How important do you think that is?
I think it's critically important. Well, I think if you look at most tourist attractions in Ireland, a lot of the marketing for them is based on the assumption that everyone knows who they are, where they are, and what they are. That's all not true. A lot of people coming into Ireland for the first time have no contextual understanding as to where these places are located, why they should actually even go and visit them, and what makes them so good. So the stories are typically known historically on the ground in Ireland in terms of collective perception, but they're not necessarily known globally. And I think there's a huge job to be done by a lot of these tourist attractions to actually understand what the perception is of their respective tourist destinations, and to build a compelling story around that to get people to find it as easily and quickly as possible and inspire them to come and visit.
So when somebody's in South Africa, right, someone's in Joburg, right, and they're coming to Ireland, right, and they're coming to Ireland for, I don't know what, a business meeting, or coming to Ireland for, you know, the funeral of a long-lost relative, and they actually have time available in Ireland outside the function that they're coming for, right?
Yeah.
What does the average Joburg resident have in their head about Ireland that they might go to already, first of all?
Well, I think people in Joburg would know, I mean, a lot of people wouldn't know that Ireland is an independent, separate country. A lot of them would think that Ireland is part of the United Kingdom. So that's the first challenge.
Do they think it's joined on geographically?
They think it's one place, and I'm not joking at all. I mean, I'm talking about educated, university-educated people that wouldn't necessarily know exactly where Ireland is. I mean, as far as Cork is concerned, most South Africans are totally clueless where Cork is. They know Blarney. Blarney is known, but Cork...
But they don't know where Blarney is, do they?
Well, they know Blarney's down south somewhere, but they don't have a contextual understanding of Cork. They don't care about East Cork or West Cork. And if they're coming down here, why should they come to Cork versus going to Killarney, which I think has a very, very well-known name, and doing the Ring of Kerry, which is another extremely well-known name. So once again, when tourists come here, they have choices. And in terms of those choices, they're going to go with the safer options that are known. And Killarney's done a great job, and obviously it's very centrally situated. So it's a great stop-off point in terms of people who want to do the Ring of Kerry. But that comes back to Bantry. If Bantry doesn't market itself, most people won't do the Ring of Kerry and Bantry together. So in a way, Bantry's in a weird space, kind of between Killarney and, let's say, West Cork, that it has to actually work that much harder to convince people to rather come to Bantry than to go to other places. So I think that's what a lot of these Irish tourist destinations need to realise. They're not just in a battle to get tourists here, they're actually in a battle internally almost to make people choose them as the must-see destination.
I think the battleground is now on the internet, you know that? Because I think so many people in the entire world sitting at home can be sitting there thinking, okay, we're going to go to Ireland next year. Let's just have a look at what Ireland has to offer. And they go in and they do nothing other than they put in a search term, Ireland, and up pop certain things, right? So therefore, the Wikipedia entry on Ireland is vital, you know? If you're not in the Wikipedia entry on Ireland, you lose a whole chunk of, you know, we're not planning to go there. So therefore, you know, the whole thing about why should anyone, let's say, take Cliffs of Moher? Why should anyone go to the Cliffs of Moher? Well, I don't know what it says in the Wikipedia entry for the Cliffs of Moher. But if I was running bed and breakfasts and hotels close to the Cliffs of Moher, I would have a huge interest in what the Cliffs of Moher were sounding like to somebody who put Ireland in, not someone who put in the Cliffs of Moher, because no one will start off putting in the Cliffs of Moher. They never heard of it, right? So if somebody puts in Ireland and surf, now there's a good chance the Cliffs of Moher will come up, right? Thank goodness, right? And that's big.
But I think one of the interesting things is that although the Irish are great storytellers, when it comes to actually telling the story about these places and telling it in an online context, those stories typically aren't told. So the stories are known locally on the ground, but they're not told. One of the biggest challenges coming to Ireland as a tourist is that you actually don't know where the good spots are. I mean, you know all the tourist spots, surely, but you know, the average tourist could drive around Ireland and actually not discover the places that they should really be going to. And I think that is a big challenge. I think, you know, recently I had a client of mine from South Africa who was coming on holiday to Ireland with his family, his two teenage kids who just left school. And I mean, he got so frustrated trying to figure out where to go in Ireland during an 8-day period that he actually phoned me directly out of the blue and said to me, like, please help. I need help to kind of navigate. I know all these places, some better than others, but if you had X number of days in Dublin, Y number of days in Cork, what should you see? Where should you go? Where should you eat? So a lot of the dots in terms of Ireland are not connected up. So your average tourist arriving in Cork doesn't actually know what to do. We have all the tried and tested typical tourist places where we tend to kind of try and push people into, but those are not the places that are really the cool, interesting places.
I give you a little example. Imagine that there's a family driving. They've hired a car and they're driving between Cork and Killarney, right? Quite a reasonable average sort of thing for a family who've come over from the UK to do, or from wherever. They're in a car, right? Now, in the car is a father and a mother and we'll say, I don't know, a couple of kids, three kids, however. That individually, there are things they're interested in that family. Now, they're going off to Killarney, right, because they ought to go to Killarney, even though they actually come from a place which has a drop-dead gorgeous countryside, right? So, but actually, without, you know, imagine it's entirely credible that that one of the kids in the family is mad about soldiers, right? Model soldiers, and they have at home got Lego soldiers, and they've got old tin soldiers and whatever. The father used to collect soldiers as a kid, right? And they will drive between Cork and Killarney without being aware that one of the most interesting places in Ireland is a small business off the side of the road where they make soldiers. where they will do you a replica set of the Battle of Waterloo, the Battle of Jura, the Battle of Gettysburg, where you can get miniature pictures of little creatures or little heroes. I have Grainne Whale and I have Abraham Lincoln, two of my greatest heroes. I call my daughter, whose name is Grace, after Grainne Whale, and Abraham Lincoln is, as far as I'm concerned, one of the greatest human beings who was ever born. But have you ever, do you know about this little place?
I have seen it on the way to Kalani a couple of times. I've never stopped in there. I don't know that there's a little sign.
Anyone in your family ever collect soldiers?
Absolutely.
Do you have any military connection at all in your family?
We have a lot of military connection, but I mean, it's one of those undiscovered places.
So if I told you that a complete set of ANC armed fighters, you know, could be found there, would you be interested?
Soldiers, of course I would. I'd definitely pop in.
Actually, folks, I don't believe that this little business, the name of which I can't remember, has yet got on to.
Well, I think it's something like the toy soldier shop.
Yeah, so I've been there.
I've seen the sign.
It is fantastic, right? But this is my point. My point is that business is doing its livelihood there and doing the best it can. But it needs help, and it needs help with people who are storytellers who can help it to get its story out there into the marketplace.
Absolutely.
Because you could actually make a small little business like that an absolute must go to in Ireland for all the people who come to Ireland who are interested in toy soldiers.
But I think that's the interesting thing, Paul. I think if you look at Falter Island, they're so busy trying to do the big picture thing that they're kind of missing out on the smaller details and the interesting spots and the typical off the beaten path type of places that tourists in Ireland really want to explore.
Look,
so
we can't.
You kind of have that on the one side, and then you have the shop on the other side. You kind of doesn't really have the marketing firepower to get their name out there.
But you know what? The marketing firepower, it is so bloody cheap to get your message out there these days, right? I will let Falter Ireland off the hook on this. You know, they have centres where they're majoring. They have identified, I don't know how many key centres in Ireland, and they're lopping all their advertising into those, and they're basically using kind of scattergun approach, which is basically they're saying, you know, get yourself to Killarney. And what they're saying to the local people in Killarney is, we'll get you more people to come to Killarney and you guys can do business with them, right? Falter Ireland are never, ever going to have the reach that will connect a really good storytelling ability with a place that needs a story to be told, right? They just aren't geared up to do it. They're kind of, they're old-style marketing people.
Absolutely.
They really are. Now
They're playing it safe.
They've got a horrendous amount of money to disperse, right? And there are loads of people who will take the money from them and put up stupendous photographic pictorial stuff of Ireland. I mean, the photographs in the Falter Ireland brochures are fantastic, and good luck to the photographers who take them, right? In my humble opinion, we have to be able to do without Falter Ireland, right? We have to be able to, people like you and I have to be able to go to a place like the Toy Factory, right? I have to be able to say to them, look, we can help you to get your story out there because we can interview you. We can talk to you. We can get you up there on Audioboo. We can get you out there via Google. We'll find that. We'll put audio. We'll put a regular, you know, broadcasts about different things. We'll get you linking into blogs all over the place. And all these people who are writing, who are mad keen about soldiers, we'll build a world community of people. And you'll be one of a world community of people interested in soldiers. But you're the soldier manufacturer, right?
And it's a great product to sell online.
It's perfect.
It's the perfect product.
Perfect product to sell online. You can package them and send them and they won't break.
Ship them off.
Nobody. And then you can have somebody who once in their lifetime, having imported 25 packages of soldiers into wherever, right, finally gets a chance to come to Ireland. Where are they going to go? They're going to go straight to the managing director of the company to shake their hand and thank them for everything they've done.
Absolutely.
Isn't that right?
Absolutely.
I mean, you want to make the business a place which is the icing on the cake. I want to get there someday. I want to finally go to the place like Pat Whelan, the butcher in Clonmel, right? I want to buy my meat from him online. Right, and I want to be regularly serviced. All my food coming in from Pat Whelan online. He's a great, great butcher, etc. And then one day I'll finally decide, let's go out to Clonmel. Let's go and see this guy, Pat Whelan, who's Pat the Butcher in from Clonmel, right? And for all we know at that stage, Pat doesn't really exist anymore. He's just a virtual presence, right? He's a brand. Absolutely. By now he's a brand, right? He's no longer a concrete individual. He's a promise of the best quality meat you can buy online, saving you all the trouble. We do all the quality control, and he's got several books out there, you know, in which he, you know, you can also read about him and everything. I mean, imagine the stories.
Well, I think that's what's interesting, given your example of the journey between Cork and Killarney and what's on offer. I mean, we know as well that we have Gugambara Forest, you know, which is where the River Lee starts in Cork. It's one of the most amazing forests and lake out there with a beautiful hotel, fantastic setting.
Is there a hotel there?
Yeah.
Well, I've never been in the hotel.
Been in the hotel?
No.
Well, you've got to get out there. Beautiful little church chapel where people get married on Gugambara Lake. It's an exquisite, exquisite setting. And once again, if you didn't know...
But there are loads of exquisite settings in Ireland and loads of exquisite settings all over the world. I think the thing that makes the difference is not the setting, it's the story.
This is about telling people what's where.
Yeah.
This is the biggest basic problem, is that people don't know, if they're traveling on a certain journey, what's around them. And I think that's where the whole creation of apps in terms of, you know, on your iPad, on your iPhone while you're driving. So as we're now driving from Cork to Limerick, what are we driving past? What's the historical significance? What can we see?
I want a shout out for Betty McRae. Betty McRae is in Oklahoma in the United States. She's the author of Small Town Winds. And only yesterday on Twitter, she gave a shout out to somebody who'd written a blog post all about this thing. Imagine you're driving along a highway in the United States, and you're in a small village 5 miles off the highway. How do you get somebody to break their journey on the highway to come to you? And you can do that via social media. You can actually link like that. And Betty McRae is in the space where she is a kind of thought leader on how small towns can actually win. And I think she's in, I forget the name of the place she's in, it can come back to me in a minute, but she's in a place that has about, you know, 7,000 people in the entire county. No cluster bigger than about 1,500. And that's where she actually lives.
So it shows you that every small company needs to tell a big story. I mean, I was just having a look last night at the Jack Daniel's website, and Jack Daniel's, the whiskey obviously is made in Lynchburg in Tennessee. So, you know, if I was ever in that neck of the woods, that's the place that I'd really want to go to.
Absolutely,
because
of course.
They've done such a fantastic job at telling a story about their brand. So
well,
it's interesting, as good as your story is, you know, you can actually create a destination.
How many people are going to Middleton in order to go to the distillery?
The Jameson Whiskey Distillery.
Yeah, how many people are going there for that? Now, they do...
That's
a very interesting question. I don't know the answer. I think quite a lot, but I bet you a lot more.
I think so. You know? That is a global Irish brand.
Absolutely.
And I think they're just investing in redoing their visitor centre there.
Yeah.
So.
And it's well worth going to. Okay, look, we got to stop. How many minutes have we talked? We've talked for 19 minutes, right? And we're actually in Limerick. Well, we're hitting Limerick. Now, we start off, we're right back where we began. King John's Castle, right?
King John's Castle.
I want you to look out for Aspire, right? Wow. That'll tell us where we're not going to, right? Because that's... King John's Cathedral, right? St. John's Cathedral, right? We're not going there. We're going to the River Shannon, and on the banks of the River Shannon, it being tidal, only until the Corrigower Falls in Limerick. And at the just above Corrigower Falls is King John's Castle. King John's Castle comes from the 12th century, right? Limerick had its charter from 1169. Sorry, not... 1169, I think, is the Limerick charter. Actually, I must double-check that, because I'm going back a long time in school. The Normans came to Britain in 1066 and to Ireland in 1169. And when did Limerick get this charter? Very soon after that. And they've done a lot of restoration work there, and it's right just within a stone's throw or a couple of golf shots of Munster Rugby.